us, and a particular welcome, of course, to our choristers from Bradford Cathedral. Very good to see you, and have you helped lead our worship for us this afternoon. If you're able at the end of the service, do join us for some refreshments. It'd be good to see you there and to have some time together at the end. Dearly beloved brethren, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent, and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do when we assemble and meet together to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary, as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying after me.
Thank you. And they shall appoint for themselves one head, and they shall take possession of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Here endeth the first lesson.
The second lesson is from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 22. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and in all. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is your acceptable duty in the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, or they may lose heart. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, not only while being watched and in order to please them, but wholeheartedly, fearing the Lord. Here endeth the second lesson.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Destroy the works of the devil, and make us the sons of God and heirs of eternal life. Grant us, we beseech thee, that having this hope, we may purify ourselves even as he is pure, that when he shall appear again with power and great glory, we may be made like unto him in his eternal and glorious kingdom. Wherewith thee, O Father, and thee, O Holy Ghost, he liveth and reigneth ever one God, world without end. For thy people by thy power, and rulest over them in love, vouchsafe so to bless thy servant, our queen, that under her this nation may be wisely governed, and thy church may serve thee in all godly quietness. And grant that she, being devoted to thee with her whole heart, and persevering in good works unto the end, may by thy guidance come to thine everlasting kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that both our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee, we being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Saviour. In our darkness we beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night, for the love of thy only Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Today's choir anthem, Jubilate, is a setting of the words of Psalm 100. The text, which is printed in the Order of Service booklet, is probably better known now through William Keith's metrical translation, which is found in the hymn All People That on Earth Do Dwell. The anthem music was written by the Dublin-born composer Sir Charles Villiers Stanford, who studied music at the University of Cambridge. In 1883, he was appointed Professor of Composition at the Royal College of Music, a position that he held for more than 40 years. He subsequently held appointments as conductor of the Bach Choir, the Leeds Philharmonic Society, and the Leeds Festival. Stanford wrote many compositions, including seven symphonies, but he is probably best remembered for his sacred choral music, chiefly composed in the Anglican tradition.
Be sure that the Lord is I speak to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Reading and books in general have a special place in my life and in my house. My books reflect, as I'm sure they do for you, my interests and the many different aspects of my life. There are too many to mention. They range from a rather scruffy 1970s Biro recipe book, I'm sure the ladies in the house know that, to a full set of Mr. Men books. There is one called Handbags and Hopscotch, and that's the essential guide to being a girl. Oh, and a few religious books, and maybe a couple of Bibles. I was recently given some books, and making space for them has been quite tricky. But in a way, it's been really cathartic, and it's been a chance for me to declutter. Looking back at my books has evoked memories of holidays, family time, my childhood, and it's been really a nice journey. My dear old dad said, once a book only comes alive when we open it. A book only comes alive when we open it. By opening the cover, we somehow escape into a new world, a new thought, a new experience. Not only allowing us to escape, they are for lifelong learning. Take, for example, The Highway Code, a book that I had when learning to drive, and it's had a facelift just recently. A book only comes alive when we open it. Then what about the Bible? A book full of poetry, of song, a book for creativity and inspiration. It's often thought as a rule book, but it doesn't begin or end there. Dr. Rowan Williams describes the Bible as the place where we encounter the risen Christ and hear God speaking. On first reading, you might be forgiven that the passage from our second reading is Paul giving rules of how we should and should not behave. It's not as cut and dried as that. Paul is writing to the new church in Colossus, albeit from his prison cell. He is urging the new church to make a positive change. He has been changed from Saul into Paul, and now is urging that change for the new emerging community. Being a Christian, accepting Jesus as Lord, is about making a change. But not a quick, immediate change, but a lifelong work, and that one that is being constantly moulded. To live a life of faith is, as Paul describes, is to be clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and putting to death those not-so-nice sides of our personality. And that's not because Paul says so. I think he's urging us to be like that because it makes sense. It creates freedom. We aren't living with rules that restrict our life with Christ, but simply it does the opposite. It opens up a new way of living. And verse 10 tells us that we have been clothed with a new self. Christ is all and in all. And that's not to say it will be easy, because we all know that a life of faith isn't. So I want to ask you, who has made any New Year resolutions? Anybody brave enough to own up? I know we are in February already, and maybe January the 1st seems a distant memory. We all set out with good intention to be more active, to lose weight, to maybe consider dry January. Or maybe you are very much still where you intended to be. Humans by nature are self-focused creatures, and when we think about the need to do better in certain areas of life, we often think about ourselves first. But what if your New Year resolutions were about others? What if you set a goal to improve yourself and be a better disciple to one another? What if your resolution was to pray more for each other, to be kinder, to be more compassionate, more patient, or more humble? We know we don't live in a perfect world, but I hope that that could be my resolution, to turn over a new page, to have a clean slate. Try as we might, we get things wrong. We all struggle. But by recognising the qualities that Paul describes, allowing ourselves to be clothed within them, they might allow others to encounter Christ in each of us. As Paul wrote his rules for Christian living to the new church springing up, then today it speaks to us now for truth in our lives. Being clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience are all the attributes we would wish for ourselves to be Christ-like in our lives with others. We have been surrounded by enforced rules over the past couple of years. Rules which we know now have been broken or twisted slightly by those who were supposed to be leading by example. We have, in the most part, adhered to them, and the awareness of the rules for a healthy and safe living were certainly adhered to in this church. As the world moves on out of the pandemic, perhaps we will learn to reflect and learn from others' mistakes by clothing ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. The expression leadership by example was one I heard Justin Welby use on the news yesterday when he was speaking about Her Majesty the Queen, whose accession we mark today. He described her as one who epitomises stability and strength. Her unwavering faith in God, combined with service to the country and Commonwealth, is one that marks her out as a truly unique sovereign. Elizabeth, our Queen, has a heart to serve people and has been devoted in this service. We should take encouragement of her example to serve one another and to seek the common good. So the Bible does have something to teach us as we travel on our journey of faith. Just like a recipe book helps us bake a perfect cake, a map helps us to find our destination, then surely the Bible is the place where we encounter Christ and hear God, a God who makes a difference. Amen.
Oh, the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Let us pray for this nation and the nations of the world. Let thy blessing, O Lord of Lords, rest upon our land and nation, upon all powers which thou hast ordained over us, our Queen and those in authority under her, the ministers of state and the great councils of the nation, that we may lead a quiet and godly life in all godliness and honesty. By the power of thy Holy Spirit, may peace be established among the nations of the world, built on the foundation of justice, righteousness, and truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the Church. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably upon thy whole Church, praying especially for Bradford Cathedral and the community it serves. May the Church there, here, and everywhere be an instrument of thy saving purpose for the world, that the life of humankind, redeemed in Christ, may everywhere be renewed, and all things may return into unity through him from whom they took their origin, even the same thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we give thanks for the choristers of Bradford Cathedral who have been with us this afternoon, let us pray for those who through music help us worship. Almighty God, who hast ordained that the hearts of your people shall be kindled by music and their minds thereby attuned to understanding thy divine mysteries, grant, we pray thee, that all who lead thy praises may know themselves to be thy ministers, and that the hearts of all be lifted up to thee. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for those with whom we share our lives, and those who are in need at this time. O loving Father, we commend to thy gracious keeping all who are near and dear to us. Have mercy on those who are sick, and comfort all who are in pain, anxiety, or sorrow. Awaken all who are careless about eternal things. Bless those who are young and in health, that they may give the days of their strength unto thee. Comfort the aged, the infirm, and the grieving, that thy peace may rest upon them. Hallow the ties of kindred, that we may help and not hinder one another in all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for ourselves. O God, whose grace is sufficient for all our need, lift us, we pray thee, above our doubts and anxieties into the calm of thy presence, that guarded by thy peace, we may serve thee without fear. We thank thee, Lord, for thy goodness towards us, for the world which thou hast made, and for strength to serve thee in it, for daily revelations of thyself in nature, in art, and in the lives of others, for the Bible through which thy word is spoken to us, for all writings which reveal thy truth, for the tasks to which thou art calling us. But above all, we thank thee for thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, through whom we see thee, who art our Father. May his Spirit dwell with us, making us to serve thee with gladness all the days of our life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, it has been good for us to be here, for thou hast been here with us. We thank thee for thy presence and for our fellowship with one another. Now, O Lord, we ask thee to accept these our prayers and answer them as seems best in thy sight, and pray that thou wilt send us from this holy place refreshed in spirit and with thy peace in our hearts. To thy name be praise and honour, both now and evermore. Amen.
To the departed, rest. To the Church, the Queen, the Commonwealth, and all people, unity, peace, and concord. And to us and all God's servants, life everlasting. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.